brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If Jesus were to speak to us today, trying to give us the same message as he gave us in our gospel reading today, rather than talking about mustard seeds, he'd probably be talking about a great sequoia tree. Maybe one that he would find at the Sequoia National Park in Northern California. Got a picture of one there on the screen for you. That one is called the General Sherman. It is one of the largest sequoia trees in the Sequoia National Forest. It is over 275 feet tall. The girth at the bottom is over 102 feet around, and it is estimated to weigh over 3,000 tons. It is considered one of the largest living things on the face of the earth. Can you imagine? Such a huge tree. And yet that tree comes from a seed that's the size of a piece of oatmeal. It is weighs 1/6,000th of an ounce, the seed that produces that tree. Now, Jesus didn't talk about that tree because they don't grow those trees in Israel. Instead, he talked about mustard seeds and mustard plants. But I think if he had been sharing this parable with us today in the western parts of the United States, this would be the image that he's talking about. Have you ever thought about this? That Jesus has sort of a fascination with talking about things that are small, about dealing with things that are small. Think about the story of Jesus. It's really, if you think about it, the gospel is really a celebration of that which, by our estimation, seems small and insignificant. Bethlehem. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Nobody had ever heard of Bethlehem. Where's Bethlehem? He's raised in Nazareth. Again, a backwater little town. Nobody really heard of that. He dies on Calvary, which is a very small little place in a very small, insignificant country. And you think about those that he chose to follow him, his disciples. I mean, fishermen? Tax collectors? I mean, these people were nobodies. They weren't well educated. They hadn't attended any prestigious schools. They really didn't have that much going for them. One of them betrays him. One of them denies him. They were always seemingly confused, always kind of competing with one another. It's sort of interesting, isn't it, that Jesus would choose this assembly of disciples, only 12 of them, to follow him. Rather small and rather insignificant. And yet today, some 2,000 years later, there are 7.5 billion Christians. 1 in 3 people on the face of the earth is a Christian, because of the ministry of this little, small, insignificant group. That's an amazing thing. I think the gospel is really a celebration of God's ability to take that which is small and do great things with it. In fact, I think there's a secret that we have today in today's gospel reading that could change your life. And it could change your life because it will open doors for you. And the secret is this: God takes small and insignificant things because God wants to be a show off. God wants to show his power, his ability. So he takes that which is the smallest, weakest, most insignificant and does amazing things with it. So there is no misunderstanding that what is taking place is done only by the hand of God. God is kind of a show off that way, I think. You take a look at some of the things that Jesus has taught us. In Luke 17, Jesus says, if you have the faith, just the faith of a mustard seed, you should be able to say to that sycamore tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. In another place, he says, if you've got the faith of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains. Now, I think a lot of people misunderstand or misinterpret verses like that. They think, I'm going to have the power to do incredible things if I have faith. Even if I've got just a little faith, I am going to be able to do great things. But that's not what these verses are saying at all. Because it's really not about us. It's about God doing the work through us. We're simply making ourselves available. Somehow we think that maybe there's some sort of divine partnership here. Maybe it's like a 50-50 relationship where I put my faith alongside God's power, and 50-50, God does great things. But in reality, it's very little of us and a whole lot of God. All we're doing is making ourselves available. Jesus talks about it this way. He says, the kingdom of God can be compared to yeast. When it's put into 60 pounds of flour, it's able to produce all kinds of leavened bread. Well, have you ever had bread that doesn't have yeast in it? It's flat, right? Now, I know Norwegians like flat bread, right? But most of the world doesn't. Most of the world likes risen bread, bread that has yeast in it, right? And that's a good thing. But what is the yeast? The yeast, he says, is the kingdom of God. It's God that's the yeast. See, without God, there's no transformation. Without God, there's no rising. It's God that does the work. And boy, when I look at my own life, that is so obvious to me in spades. I look at my own life and I realize that the wonderful things that I have had in my life, experienced in my life, received in my life, have not come because of my own hand. It hasn't been because of my plan, my abilities, my pushing for it, my making it happen. It's been completely a gift of God. There I was, born to a woman. I have no idea her name. I don't know her circumstances. She wasn't able to care for me. She put me into the adoption system. I feel like Moses being put in that wicker basket and floated down the Nile. Crocodiles. Who knows what could have grabbed me out of that Nile, right? Who knows what could have grabbed me out of that adoption system? But God, like Moses, had me covered. He made sure that I wound my way down that Nile River, where there were crocodiles and where there was tumultuous waters and where there was all kinds of risk, and God put me into the home of a prince, my dad. I'm celebrating him today. He died some 5 years ago, and I can't tell you, almost every single day, I think to myself, I wish he was still here so I could talk with him. Because I'm at a place in my life now, even though it's only been a few years, where I want to have conversations with him that I wouldn't have had 10 years ago. There's wisdom that he had that I wish I could continue to plumb. But I can tell you, in those 50 years or so that I did have him, what a gift he was. My mother and father both. They came to me not because I was handsome or winsome or talented or gifted, because I had a cute smile or something of this sort. They came to me by the hand of God. God put them in my life. I think of my marriage to Jill. I mean, God brought her into my life, right? I mean, he brought her to me and I was blown away. He gave me her. What a gift. I think about being called into ministry. I didn't come looking for ministry. Ministry came looking for me. I was 16 and I was only consumed by sports and girls. That's all I could think about as a 16-year-old. But here God put on my heart a desire to serve in the context of ordained ministry. And there I was, some 11 years ago, 12 years ago, sitting at my house, enjoying my ministry in Minnesota, not ever thinking in the world about the Pacific Northwest, when out of the blue, God used an individual from this congregation to call me and said, hey, would you be interested in talking with us? God brought you to me and me to you. This is all God at work in our lives. God is the one who's been orchestrating this all along. And I look at my friendships, the friendships that mean so much to me. Again, these are gifts from God. I didn't go looking for them. They came to me, not looking for me, but because God brought us together in a marvelous way. Now, have you ever noticed that God blesses us with things that we don't go out and earn? He blesses us with things. Things that we can't predict, things that we can't anticipate, things that we can't work for. He brings those into our lives. And I think the reason he does this is because he wants us to know that the good things that come into our lives are by his hand, that he's in control, not us. We're not in control of these things. He's the one blessing us. He's the one caring for us. He's the one giving us all these things. That is God's little secret. He is taking little things and turning them into our lives as big things. You know, I think there's something about the handsaw that sort of demonstrates this for us a little bit. I think most of you have probably used a handsaw at some point in your life, even if you're not a carpenter or if you don't do a lot of woodwork. Most of you have at some point taken a piece of wood and applied a handsaw to it. Of course, when you use a handsaw, first you create a bit of a groove in the wood, and then you start working it, right? But perhaps if you're not experienced, and I'm not really experienced, so I have this problem a lot, is I start to exert my will on the saw. And I start to push and pull and push, and I'm driving the saw down there because I figure the more pressure I'm applying, then the faster this will go. But what do I find when I do that? Is that the saw oftentimes gets stuck in there. There's a pinch point that happens because I'm exerting my will, it gets stuck in there, and at some point I've got to pull the saw out altogether and start all over. Right? That's been my problem. What I've learned, and this has come with some age, is that once you start your groove, you got to let the saw do the work. You don't apply your pressure, you don't exert your will. You just keep it straight, and you just go back and forth and let the teeth of the saw do the work. If you do that, what you're going to find is you're going to make a straighter cut, perhaps, than even a power tool could offer you. And what you're going to find is, in time, you're going to get kind of into a zen with it, you know? And you just kind of go back and forth, and you know that you can trust the saw, because the saw is the one that's doing the work. You're just giving a little bit of energy to it. But really, the saw is doing the cutting. I wonder if that's a little bit like our lives with God. I wonder if in our life with God, what we try to do oftentimes is exert our will. We try to control the outcome. Oh, we say it's about God, and we offer up our prayers, and we're at a certain level trusting God to do work through us, but we're really trying to get our own outcome. We're trying to exert our will in our life, whatever that might be. It might be a relationship. It might have something to do with work. It might be a parenting issue. We're exerting our will instead of trusting God. Instead of getting into the flow of what it is God wants us to do. You know, if you ever feel stuck, if you ever feel like maybe you got to a pinch point in your life, have you thought that maybe it's because you're trying to exert your pride, or maybe you're exerting your fear, or maybe your own stubbornness into the situation, rather than allowing God to do the work? Well, I will say this. If you have gotten to that point where you're at wit's end, where you don't know how you're going to move forward, and you can only think that the only way you're going to get through this situation or out of this situation, whether it's in a relationship or in a work thing or whatever it might be, is through the power of God, well then, congratulations. Because that's where God wants you to be. Because it's when you acknowledge your insufficiency that God is then able to show you his sufficiency. It's when you show your powerlessness that God is able then to begin to use his power. You know, as long as we're exerting our will, God stands back and says, have at it. But if you're like me, you get stuck and you find those pinch points in life. But if we can get into the flow of God and begin to trust God, things can go in such a different way. Paul talks about this, you know. Paul talks about this when he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My friends, this is the secret of the kingdom of God. The secret is that God is a show-off. Because God wants to take you to a place of weakness, of feeling insignificant and small, and then trusting that with that little oatmeal piece of sequoia seed, God is then able to do something incredible. God is able to do something great. It is God who wants to do it. So if you're feeling overwhelmed today, get into the flow of where it is that God is at work in this world. If you're feeling desperate and you don't know or can't find the answer to your situation, get in the flow of where it is that God is leading in this world. If you're feeling desperate and at wit's end, get in the flow of what it is God would have you be all about. See, God is at work all around us. That's the good news. God is at work all around us, but sometimes we can't see it because we're looking for great things. God must be doing great things, when rather God would have us look at small things, because it's through small things that God wants to be able to work. Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God in the Bible. The kingdom of God really means God at work. God at work. So if the kingdom of God is like this, what he's saying is God is at work like this. And it's up to us to not so much partner with him, offering him 50-50 partnership here, but rather simply to make ourselves available. Available so that he might be willing to work through us. See, even though you can't see God at work, that doesn't mean God isn't at work. We need to be able to see it in small things. Remember the mustard seed. Remember the sequoia seed. When you look at a piece of oatmeal, think about a sequoia tree. Think about a piece of yeast. Think about God working in small ways. In a few moments, you're all going to be coming up to this altar rail, and you're going to be given a very small piece of bread. You're going to say, "Bread? That doesn't much look like bread to me. That's pretty small. That's pretty insignificant." But God can do great things with this little piece of bread. Because when this little piece of bread is simply connected to our faith, our belief in the words that are spoken to you, that this is the body of Christ broken for you, this little piece of bread is able to put the kingdom of God, that is God at work, within your heart, within your life. It's able to bring you things that you can't give to yourself. Forgiveness, life, grace, eternal life, eternity, security. That's what God is able to do. As you come up and receive these gifts, this little cup of wine, realize that what you're doing is you're getting in the flow of what God is doing. God is at work here at First Lutheran. Look for those ways in which he's at work. Get into the flow of what he's doing. And just wait. God's going to do some pretty great things. Amen.